Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Before we go to our guy, Jesse Rogers, White Sox lineup is out. Anderson, Madrigal hitting two, Moncada three. That worked out really well last night. They both had two hits in the first. They all had two hits in the first inning.
Yep.
As the Sox scored eight. Abreu at first, Grandal catching, Yermín Mercedes DH, Vaughn in left, Garcia center, and Mendick in right. I think that's the exact same lineup as yesterday. Why would you change? Let's see, Mercedes. No, he flipped Grandal.
Eaton was in.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't in?
No, he wasn't in yesterday.
Okay.
No.
I thought he was.
He was on White Sox Weekly with us, but he wasn't in. Yesterday, Abreu hit, then it was Mercedes and Grandal. Today, he flipped Grandal and Mercedes, and then Vaughn Garcia Mendick at the bottom with Lucas Giolito, who hopefully continues the scoreless streak for the White Sox pitchers, 25 and a third. That's nice to see.
Yeah, it is nice to see. And he's actually had a bit of a rough go. I mean, his record's 1-3.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't indicate what he's going to end up doing this year. But, you know, with all the other pitchers doing so well, we hope to see him really turn in a great performance today.
And if there is baseball on the north side today, another pitcher who's coming off a pretty good outing after some struggles, Kyle Hendricks, and we can bring in Jesse Rogers, talk some baseball,
hey,
some
Jesse.
Cubs, some White Sox. What's up, Jess?
Good morning to you guys. Yeah, good to talk to you. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day.
You think there'll be baseball today? I know it's supposed to rain till like early afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's supposed to clear up by game time. So, yes, I do think so. I don't think it's a perfect day to take your mom to the ballpark, though. The weather has just been awful this week. But the Cubs have used it to their advantage, if you want to segue to them. Last 16 hits, 16 singles for the Chicago Cubs. That's not a sentence I'd ever thought I'd say with this group.
No.
But obviously this group is a little different when you include the Matt Duffys of the world and Eric Sogards and all those guys. 16 hits, all singles, and it's turned into five straight wins.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, having Duffy step up and, you know, there are some other injuries and having people step in and giving a little jolt to the lineup is nice to see.
Isn't that funny? Both sides of town. Without the injuries, we probably would not see Mendick doing what he's doing. We wouldn't see Mercedes even necessarily if Eloy is here. On the other side, if Peterson and Happ don't go down, we don't see as much of Matt Duffy. And, you know, you guys have heard me for a couple weeks now. I mean, when everyone is healthy, David Ross, I'm sure, has learned something from watching these last 2 weeks. He's got to include those role-type players in the lineup every single day. Sluggers combined with contact hitters make for a good dynamic lineup, and we're seeing it day in and day out with the Chicago Cubs.
You know, the thing that was interesting to me is most people don't, you know, you heard Matt Duffy and you go, okay, I think I've seen him before. I don't know who he is. He's pretty nondescript when you think about Major League Baseball players. But Tony Andracki posted something that he said, that Duffy said. I just want to read it to you real quick. It says, I think my journey here has given me some perspective on the fact that this game is a blast and it's not always perfect despite that. I think if you choose to enjoy it as often as possible, then it stays fun. I think there's a lot of distractions that you can get caught up in that really zaps the fun out of really anything, but even this, as much fun as it can be, if you're able to step back as often as possible and remind yourself how cool it is to be in the position we're in, it's hard to have a bad day. That's one of the coolest things I've read from a baseball player.
Yeah, and that's called perspective of being around the league, of having some struggles, of having some ups and downs, and then sort of finding your footing in a great situation currently. It also has to do with reminding yourself this is a game of failure, and especially for hitters in this day and age. You fail even more often. We know overall batting averages are down. So you have to sort of enjoy the moments that you can, and even enjoy, Chris Bryant has talked about this, not necessarily enjoy the failures, but sort of accept them and let them make you better. Don't let them get you down. And Matt Duffy's a great example of that. And, you know, it's also changed a little bit in terms of playing time. There's this sort of tug and pull. Remember back in the day, you know, players said they had to have at bats, right, to be effective. You have to play as much as you can. Well, with analytics, sort of taking over the sport, the other side of that coin is, okay, you're not going to play every day, Matt Duffy. or Eric Sogard or Marisnik. But when you play, we are matching you up against a pitcher we think you can have success against. So that sort of offsets the idea that you're not getting everyday at-bats. At least when you're in there, we think you can have success against this guy. And I think all this is sort of part and parcel and sort of enjoying the game and the situation at hand, because you want those at-bats. You want those contracts after you play a full season with 600 at-bats. But then you realize after time that maybe this is your role and you can still have success in it and still make some money because the team is putting you in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, I think you're right about all that. And, you know, you mentioned about, you know, having fun and putting it in the right perspective. We always know that Anthony Rizzo always has fun. And I'm not a fan of the position players pitching, but when he does that, that's always fun. Everybody laughs and all that stuff. But he has a good time playing the game. The other day, I know you saw this, Chris Bryant comes home, I think it was on Rizzo's hit, on a walk-off, and Bryant comes home from third base, and he gets to home plate, and the umpire's watching him, and he holds his foot over the bag, over home plate, and just looks at the umpire for like a split second
and then stamps down on it.
Because the umpire can't leave until he steps at home plate. And he looks at him, and then finally he steps out, and the umpire goes safe, and he walks away. I thought that was so cool. It's just a little thing, but that's having fun in baseball. And it, Jess, you know it more than anybody. It's really easy to have fun when you're winning games, and that's what they've been doing this week.
Yeah, both sides of town. Yeah. I mean, both sides of town. There's a lot of great storylines on both sides of town. I'm not sure that the Cubs are the World Series contender that the White Sox are, but there's still some great storylines, especially if you're thinking about the future. Albert Alzolay is a young kid having fun and evolving in front of our eyes, right? Nico Horner, when he was in there, sort of the same thing. There's some great young storylines with the Cubs. Keegan Thompson gets his first win, starts and wins the game that Kershaw's pitching, or was it Bauer? Whatever one they won, he started.
Right.
And then he pitches yesterday in relief. So there are some really great and not just like, oh, the free agents, you know, Chris Bryant's back. It's also these young players who are going to be part of the next sort of round of contending for the Cubs, whether it's this year or in future years. So how can you not have some fun when there's so many good storylines on both sides of town?
Right, and making the best of your opportunities, whether you are a young person trying to prove yourself or you're a Chris Bryant. You have to make the best of your opportunities.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to be a free agent for maybe the only time in your career. Might be the first of maybe two times you're free. Like, it doesn't happen often. So this is the year to have a big season, whether it be Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Davies, Arrieta. We could go through the whole list. And, you know, Ross is keeping it together. I think once this offense, you know, sort of diversified itself with these role players, it came into its own. Now if this rotation can get going, we've seen Hendricks and Davies have a good run, you know, last time out. We'll see if Hendricks can have two in a row.
Yep.
Then we'll be talking about something. That still doesn't mean Jed Hoyer won't have some really tough decisions come July. But right now, sort of enjoy that this team is playing well, and there's just like one little weakness that rotation needs to find its footing, and not just for like, you know, 1 week. It's got to get going.
Okay, but if you're a fan of the Cubs, do you get excited about this because they can make the playoffs? Or if they're playing well, is Jed going to get rid of guys and then all of a sudden a nice little push will have them not make the playoffs because of the trades?
Right. You know, until recently, I was all in on the trades. There's no doubt. I think this is, and Jed said it on day one of spring training, there's a transition season. And I still think it will end up being that one. But there was one caveat I mentioned yesterday on the air, couple days ago. And that's just that all these teams have so many injuries. And it could just be the healthiest team at the end of the day is the one that's standing. I'm not saying if the Cubs are healthy, they're going to win the World Series. But look at the standings. Everybody's bunched, and it's May. You know, it's not just early April. Like, we've seen a lot of baseball. I'm sure there'll be some separation over the next 5 to 6 weeks. But I'll say this. If the Cubs stay healthy, they look a lot better than some other teams that are not as healthy. I mean, the Dodgers are a great example, but it's going to go back and forth, right? Dodgers will get healthy. Cubs might experience a few injuries. So I will say the injury factor is sort of the equalizer this season in baseball, it feels like. But having said that, I still think Jed needs to, his default position needs to be to sell. It just does, and add on for the coming years. That's the default position, but things can change between now and July 31st.
But when you say sell, how much? I mean, is it the big three?
I mean, if none of them have signed by then, yes, yeah. Absolutely, yes. You could. I mean, for all you know, you could trade Rizzo and sign him back. You do not hold back. Why would you hold back? I mean, come November, they're available to you whether they're on your team now or you've traded them. And now it's highly doubtful you'll trade one of them and sign him back, but it's not unheard of.
Right.
So my point is, if none of them, whoever has not signed up for long-term deals by July 31st should be eligible to be traded. If you are a smart GM, smart executive, smart president, you get what you can in the moment. You maximize the situation at hand. And I will say this, now going back to my other point about so many teams are kind of in the race right now, that means it will be a seller's market. That means that you can get something for Kimbrel, a lot for him, maybe a lot for Bryant. I think Jed is going to have to make that tough decision and realize if this is a seller's market, I gotta make some calls and get as much as I can for this. And you know what? Maybe I give up on a playoff year, but look what they've done making the playoffs the last few years. It really hasn't worked.
No, it hasn't. Jazz usually teases get me to watch, but I was watching an Instagram thing that Hood and Cap did, but it was like from 2 days before. And on the tease, it said, and don't forget, Jesse Rogers talked to four or five managers about what happened with Tony La Russa the other day. And I'm saying, damn, I can always go to the ESPN Chicago app and listen to that. But if I get Jesse on, I could just ask him.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. What did you do after this whole La Russa thing happened? And what did you find out from other managers?
Yeah, I'll sum it up pretty quickly. I reached out to five American League managers because I think this rule change affects them, you know, in a different way than the NL managers.
Sure.
I assume the NL managers probably know it a little bit better. And I will say the five that I talked to, it wasn't exactly slam dunk. Oh, yeah, no problem. We knew that. Like one of them flat out did not know it. One AL manager did not know it.
Okay.
So there's one. Two others, once I brought it up and heard about the La Russa situation, remembered getting the memo that said that you don't have to have the pitcher run. You can go with the out before that as your runner. So they were reminded of it as it came up. Another two remembered it. One of them was on a Zoom. Chris Woodward of the Rangers said, yes, I remember the memo, but also said, look, we're not in the middle of an interleague series, so I can understand if you're not in one, you may forget it,
right?
But you prep for it as you enter that interleague series. So no excuse for Tony La Russa. Should have known it. His staff should have known it. But I will say there's a little confusion over it. Some people weren't completely aware of it, and a couple forgot about it until I brought it up to them.
Did you know it before it happened?
I did not know it. I did not know it by word. I did not. But I do remember last year, I don't remember if it was last year or this year, I do remember somebody bringing up the fact that we don't want pitchers running.
Right.
And so when it happened live, I was watching, I did tweet out, I don't quite get why Liam Hendricks is on the base pass, but I couldn't draw the line back to the rule. I knew something was weird.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't supposed to be running, but I didn't know the rule by word. That's the best I can say. So, but look, none of us should have known it because we didn't get the memo.
No, we didn't. They didn't send it to. I didn't see it in my inbox. But then
so
again,
I only knew something of it because there was some chatter at spring training.
Okay,
but I didn't know the rule by law. I just knew that pitchers shouldn't be running. That's what I knew.
It was a bit embarrassing, but in the end, the game I don't think would have changed. What happened?
I don't think
well,
so
first
either,
of all, if he gets hurt, this is a whole different conversation.
Well, sure. No doubt about that. But as it was, if he wasn't on the third base and Abreu was, it's not like Abreu was going to make it home on that double steal if they did.
Yeah, but you don't even know if they throw through.
Well, that's true.
It's not a pitcher. So there's a lot of little things.
Right.
And again, you know, Billy Hamilton might have pictures of somebody over there because
he's
batting in these big situations.
I know.
And I know Eaton was
And that's
hurting.
Another issue.
Eaton was on the bench. He was hurting. Maybe they couldn't use him, whatever. But this is a couple times now Hamilton's had the big at bat. And we know what he can do at the plate. It's really not that much. So anyway, yeah, it was just a bad look. And if he got hurt, all hell would have broken loose.
Okay, one last thing, and I'll let you go, Jess. I was just thinking about this. I was going to ask you earlier. Sox, Cubs, are you watching all these games from home? Are you going to the ballpark? What are you doing?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both. Like today, because it's Mother's Day and stuff, I'll watch them both at home. But sometimes I'll go to the park. Sometimes I'll watch them both at home. And then it's a little bit easier at home to do both Zooms,
sure,
right? Like
sure.
You have Zooms ending at the same time. Sometimes I got multiple phones recording them and multiple laptops going. So I'm doing a little bit of both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay. Yeah, today's a good day to just sit at home and watch the thing. So enjoy Mother's Day. We will talk with you later. It's always fun. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Jesse. It's been fun to watch both teams at home, to be honest. And the White Sox rotation, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It is really reminding me of the 2016 Cubs.
Sure.
It is that good. And it is, listen to this. The White Sox rotation is number one in baseball. The next six, I'm talking about ERA.
Yeah.
The next six teams are National League teams for good reason.
Yeah.
They don't have the DH. Think about that.
That's right.
They're first. Then the next six teams are in the National League. That's the reason, despite the injuries, the White Sox have a chance to win it all.
Let's hope you're exactly right.
There you go.
I think you are, Jess. Yes, sir. You're always right, Jess.
But Jack, we are going to beat the Royals today.
Yeah, I think so.
The two teams, the Cubs and Sox, combined 13-2 when a lefty starts against them. Both teams facing a lefty today. So
there you go.
We could see two sweeps. Very,
nice.
Very cool stuff.
That'd be nice.
Thanks, Jess.
Have a good one.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Jesse Rogers, you can always see him. Heck, you can see him on TV sometimes. You can see him and read him at ESPN.com. And you can also follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow because he's watching all the games, the Sox and the Cub games. Callers, hang in there. We will get to some callers talking about Tony La Russa and also talking about the Cubs, if you'd like, because the Cubs have a five-game winning streak. Do you believe they have a chance in the division? Or do you think, as I had mentioned to Jesse, that they may be close, but then come trade deadline, Jen moves everybody, and it all goes. What are your thoughts as a Cub fan? How are you looking at the season? 312-332-3776. We got some Bulls talk coming up. We got a lot of things to do. We're here till 12:30 before the White Sox pregame show as they look for the sweep against the Royals. And you'll hear it all right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jump on in. You want to talk some Sox or Cubs baseball. I want to get to some other things that happened in the course of the week. Also, wanted to talk about something I just ran across yesterday on Twitter. And I was going to bring it into the White Sox Weekly show yesterday, but I didn't get a chance. But Sox Nerd, who is a guy that I follow on Twitter, just brought up an interesting point. He says the White Sox all infield outfield appears again. And I didn't know what he meant. If you look at the lineup, the top four hitters are all infielders. You got the shortstop, the second baseman, the third baseman, the first baseman. Anderson, Madrigal, Moncada, and Abreu. Then you got catcher and DH. Then you got the three outfielders. And Andrew Vaughn, Lurie Garcia, and Danny Mendick. So it's pretty interesting the way that they're listed there. And I guess it shows you also that a lot of their power comes from their infielders. Moncada, Abreu, Anderson, and their outfield right now with Vaughn and Garcia and Danny Mendick. They're, yesterday, as it turned out, Vaughn hit one off the wall and Danny Mendick with a home run. But interesting. You don't usually see lineups like that, how they're split that way.
Well, so, yeah.
Just a unique little thing.
Right. You don't, but I think obviously it's necessary. And I think it's a solid approach. Mendick hit that home run yesterday. I'm assuming Eaton is a little banged up or whatever. But aside from that, not having Eaton in right field, I think that's the solid lineup.
Yeah.
While we're without Jimenez and
Robert.
Yeah.
And what do you think about the Robert thing? Because I know Paul Sullivan had a column in the paper yesterday saying he listed five guys the White Sox could go after: Joey Gallo and Charlie Blackmon and Chris Bryant, and also who are the other two? Corey Dickerson and Starling Marte. Marte's hurt. He was a five-tool player that's been, you know, hurt quite a bit. And he and Dickerson both play with the Marlins. So I don't know. What's your opinion on? Do you think they'll go on out and grab somebody? Do you think that they're going to more or less just ride this thing out and see how it plays out?
I think they're probably going to ride it out, especially with the success that they've had. Although I don't think another bat would be bad. Like immediately, I said Cespedes.
Uh huh.
You know but he's had some pretty bad injuries in recent years.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played in a while, so maybe that's off the table. But, you know, watching the post game on TV, I know Frank Thomas mentioned Puig.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
He is.
But there's some other players. And again, either if it was on the cheap, a Puig or a Cespedes, it's not like we're signing him long term. We're just right. filling a hole. We can use another bat because I don't like looking at Jake Lamb as the guy to come in to, take over if somebody, God forbid, we have another injury or we're trying to give somebody a day off. We go to a Jake Lamb, we can do better than that. Or a Billy Hamilton. Billy should just be on the bases.
And here's one of the problems. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776, Sox or Cubs, as they're both playing very, very well right now. The Cubs have won 5 in a row, the White Sox with a couple in a row, and they go for the sweep today against the Royals in Kansas City. But, Puig is a guy that you could bring him here. He is kind of a mess, but also he's a guy that Jose Abreu might be able to handle.
And that's a great point.
That's the one great point. That's the one thing I was thinking, because he's got ability. He's got talent.
He's got crazy ability. Yeah. And off the baseball field, he's had trouble. So that's a bit of a mess. But you're right. When you bring somebody like that in, you've got an Abreu to say, hey, here's how it's going to go here.
Right.
Abreu's someone to respect.
Yeah.
And I think that might help. And, a Cespedes too. However, he's the one that has all of those injuries, so I'm not sure if that's worth it. And then you mentioned those names. I think we should do something. Do we trade assets away for a Chris Bryant? I don't think that that's the way to go.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that's get somebody that can kind of fill in right now till we wait for these, these injuries to pass.
Yeah.
And these, Robert and Jimenez to be back.
Yeah.
But we don't have to make a permanent.
Right. It may not even be this year.
It may not be.
Right.
It may not be. But do we really want to trade away any young assets for a Chris Bryant when we have, Jimenez and Robert, who will return at some point?
Right, they will return. You weren't one of the guys that said Pujols has been released. You should bring him in.
No, right away. Good. I said, please, no. Yeah. I think I even tweeted and said, no, Tony La Russa, you cannot have Pujols.
Well, I'm glad he came out and said there's no fit for him right now.
And there isn't.
There isn't.
How many DH first basemen do we need?
No, you don't need that many. He's 41 years old. His slash line, 198 average, 250 on base, and a .372 slugging percentage. You don't need that.
I feel bad with the way that happened out there. But, when you stay, when you don't know you're out, somebody's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And it may not be pretty, and it's unfortunate the way it happened. But, he continued to play.
Yeah. Hey, he's 41 years old. I mean, he's got an awesome career. It's a Hall of Fame career. And, all things add poorly, end badly. Willie Mays, who just celebrated his 90th birthday the other day, he ended his career with the Mets. And it was a shame because he stuck around maybe a couple of years too long and was not even a shadow of the player.
And that point could be made about Pujols.
Yeah, it definitely could be. The thing I saw the other day, I had never heard of this company called Codify. CODIFY. And they posted something the other day, and it said, an announcement that should interest some of you White Sox fans. Dylan Cease was test driving Codify last game and will be working with us for a while to see how it goes. And I didn't know what Codify was. But then the company also tweeted something. When Liam Hendricks signed with the White Sox, he at the press conference in January, he was talking about working with this company, Codify, and some of the things it's done for him and allowed him to become the pitcher he is. Yeah, listen to Liam Hendricks talk about his work with Codify.
Yeah, it's always a big thing being able to work with Codify, being able to work with Michael Fisher, because he's that guy that I lean on where sometimes I may not be feeling right. Shoot him a text, be like, hey, what's the data say? And there's no personal relationship. There's the great personal relationship I have with him, but there's no it's no bias because of anything. It's, hey, you're a little bit over the rubber too much, or your arm angle's a little higher. Change it next, Daddy, and all of a sudden I'm good to go again. So it's just it's having that relationship with him, which has been fantastic. And I mean, a lot of this credit goes to Michael Fisher with helping to resurrect my career and the fact that it's given me more opportunities to get guys out rather than worry about where guys are going to get a hit off me.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty cool. And Codify sent that itself, but that was Liam Hendricks at his press conference at the start of the season this year. So I had not heard of this before.
I haven't either.
And now you see what Dylan Cease has done. We had a chance to talk to Dylan Cease last week on White Sox Weekly, and this was after he had beaten, pitched real well against the Tigers. At that point, he had 11 career victories. 6 of them were against the Tigers. So now he's got one against the Reds also. after
I think he's going to start stockpiling them.
Yeah, I think
it's not going to matter what team it is.
No, it won't matter, and I think that's one of the good things. 312-332-3776. You want to jump in, talk some baseball. We're going to get to some other stuff. We're going to talk some Bulls basketball also. They've had a couple of good games since Zach LaVine came back. Do you want them to keep winning? They got five games left, and you can actually go to games at the United Center, and you can go to Blackhawk games the next two nights, right? Sunday and Monday will be games that that they allow fans in at
the
United
Center. And the season's over for the Blackhawks.
Yes, it is. And the Bulls are trying to prolong their season. We'll see. We'll talk some Bulls basketball at 11 o'clock. So your White Sox calls, your Cub calls, 312-332-3776. You're at ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Every time I hear this song, I think of the guys marching in the Wizard of Oz when they come into the...
I wish this was in that movie.
Yeah.
That would be better. Maybe we can do a heavy metal Wizard of Oz.
Listen, I mean, it sounds like... You know what I'm talking about? They're marching through.
It's a marching song.
Yeah, when they walk in and, you know, then the lollipop kids come out and all that stuff.
I could also hear Du Hast. Oh, it's a marching song. I know you're such a Rammstein.
Yeah, but it was funny because a guy, and we'll get right to the calls, 312-332-3776. A guy posted something about Rammstein the other day. So I clicked on it, and it showed the top 10 weirdest things happening at a Rammstein concert, which is like.
Have you seen all of them happen in real time, the top 10?
I just watched them the other day.
Right.
One of them is when they first start. Their lead singer is a pyrotechnic expert. I mean, he does all this stuff, so he knows how to do it all.
Uh-huh.
And they've got unbelievable stuff. He's got, when he sings the one song, he's got a light that he puts in his mouth, and the rest of the stage is dark. So as he's singing, the only thing you can see
is his mouth.
Kind
of just floating.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, there's, cool. You know, there's fire all over the place. But when they first started, they had this fire going across a rail above the drums, and... You know, they're just first started, so probably the rigging not nearly as good as it is now. And during the song, the thing falls down on fire. And
starts something on fire.
They've got these things called these fire cannons they hook to their mouth. And as they're singing, they can just hit a button on their mouth and it comes out like a tube.
And we thought Gene Simmons was being dangerous in the 70s with spitting out butane, which wasn't safe.
If you ever get a chance, just go to YouTube and Rammstein and you'll see some of the most unbelievable. I saw them in concert once at the Allstate Arena, and their show is amazing, absolutely amazing. I don't understand the words. I mean,
what, do you really need to?
No,
But you're German. Why not?
I know. I tried, and sometimes you can look it up. You can translate the whole song into nine.
I think that should be our no.
Yeah, nine. Yeah.
I love it. Nine. Yeah. It's just so very decisive.
It is. It definitely is. Let's go to Addison and John. John, what's going on today?
Hey, John.
Hey, I'd like to see the Sox think more future. I know we want to win this year. We know we think we can. But if we're going to acquire something, let's acquire something that we can use next year. Whether we win or not, we keep building. That's another block.
Now, are you saying trade away young assets for, like, a Chris Bryant?
I don't know that we have the young assets to trade away. We brought quite a few up in the last 3 years. It might have to be somebody off the roster. But I was never the biggest Grandal fan. He's a talent.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's taking
I don't know
that.
Where that goes, but...
Yeah.
I don't want to see a plug-in. I want to see a build.
No, I got you. I appreciate the call, John. Yeah. And see, because of what John said, I would not go after Chris Bryant because you're not going to sign him for the money he's looking for at the end of the year. So I don't want to give up young prospects and, you know, the whole thing. And
that's a rent-a-player.
Yeah, and this became a whole thing the other, you know, when Robert went down and Sylvie mentioned on the air, you know, why don't, you know, the Cubs should call and say, listen, we'll give you Chris Bryant for Michael Kopech. And I just, I tweeted
immediately. There's no way.
I tweeted immediately. I said,
I don't think anybody would be okay with that.
Dumbest thing I'd ever heard. And I said, you know, someone floated Bryant for Kopech. And I said, it must have come from a Cubs fan. And I didn't say who. And I'm listening to the station. And Sylvie starts laughing. And they all say, well, they should have at least given me credit. I didn't want to call him out. But then he, you know, called himself out.
Nobody on the Sox side would be okay with that.
No. And it's funny, too, because Cub fans were saying the way Bryant's playing this year, that Kopech's not enough to get for Chris Bryant. You got to realize the odds are when the trade deadline comes, he's gone. So nobody's going to give you a king's ransom for him, despite how he's playing.
Right,
this year.
On the subject of Grandal, nobody's taking. I mean, we would have to give him away.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty hefty contract.
Yeah.
Now, if he starts showing up like we know Grandal can show up, that's going to be another asset. Now, he's not a terrible liability right now at the plate because he gets on base. It's just not a real pretty fancy.
No, it's not.
Sexy get on base.
No, I mean, he walked four times yesterday. He's on base four times.
What is it, 13 in four games or something?
Something like that, yeah. He just keeps walking, which is fine. That's great.
Again, don't bring the bat to the plate.
Yeah, he knows the strike zone. That's a good thing. Let's go downtown. And Jordan, you're on ESPN 1000 with Fred and Xander. What's going on?
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Doing well.
Can I leave my radio in the car on, or do you want me to shut it off and talk on the phone?
We can hear you.
You sound fine. Yeah. You can just keep going. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, you know, you're talking about Grandal. They made a mistake. They should have signed McCann, traded Grandal for some more young guys.
I agree.
It would have been set. You know, they got nothing for McCann. They got nothing. So that's another mistake. That's another one of these Tatis mistakes. But getting back to the media, getting on La Russa about a mistake, at least he's a man, he admits it. Big deal. He's going to make more right decisions throughout the years than he will bad decisions. He's not going to be like Renteria or some of these other managers. I think we're lucky to have him, and that's how I feel about that. Sox don't have to build anything. They don't need Bryant. They got enough hitting. They got enough of everything. I mean, and, you know, I'll leave it up to you guys.
On the case of La Russa, yes, he's going to make more good decisions than bad decisions.
Yeah.
It's just that he kind of, you know, proverbially got caught with his pants down.
Yeah.
He did admit it, though.
He did.
And we move on, and we don't really know if that would have made a difference, but it was a learning point. But it did set off a flare about, okay, is he aware enough? Can he really do this? Can he ride out the season? It's a grind.
Right.
We know all of this. And I will tell you, the only way that that ever changes is, you know, Han can't do anything about it. I don't think Reinsdorf would go back on it.
No.
I think it would have to be Tony waving the white flag saying, you know what, I bit off more than I could chew.
Sure.
I'm gonna move on. But I think that, you know, this snapped everybody into a little bit of awareness. And I think going forward, you know, we need the coaches to help out. And even if it's by committee, help Tony do his job.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
It's funny because, and Jordan, we appreciate the call. When managers, and again, I'm the guy for decades been saying that.
I just realized that there are a few other guys like you in this town that feel the same way.
I know.
I'm not on that team.
After a while, but yeah. I just don't think managers, I don't think, and I've said this before, I don't think Joe Madden was the reason the Cubs won in 2016. I don't think that Joe Madden deserved to get fired because he didn't do anything wrong. You needed a change. You want to move the manager, that's fine.
But again, it's that top of the hill where if things don't go right, you have to point at someone.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy that goes because you can't get rid of 25 or 26 players. I understand that. But, David Ross is there. Okay, what's David Ross going to do? Get the guys to play hard for him. That's fine. That's good. You should all be able, you're a Major League Baseball player. You should all be able to play hard for the money you're making.
We actually, and that's the expectation. Yeah. We actually had a poll yesterday. I was on with Hanley here. And we basically said, who's the better manager right now?
Yeah.
Not history, because David Ross doesn't have really a history. And it was overwhelming. David Ross. I was really surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, what has David Ross done as a manager that you can point out? I mean, you know.
I think that was just based on him being younger.
Yeah,
he hasn't had the big screw-up
right.
that I can recall. I don't know if there's one that comes to your mind, but I can't remember a giant screw-up from David Ross.
No, I can't either. I can't remember him, you know.
That's the attention you don't want, and that's the attention that's going to tilt
right.
something like that.
And see, another thing, too, as a catcher, he's been managing his whole career. I mean, as a catcher, you manage everything. You manage the infield. You see the outfield. You manage your guy. You're getting signals from the bench. You're as close to a manager on the field. That's why when people mention AJ Pierzynski being a possibility as a manager or a coach, I have no problem.
I think
anytime
if you go through history, probably the most successful managers.
Yeah, there's always guys that
Torrey was a catcher.
Yep. Yeah, and Torrey was a bad manager, and then he went to the Yankees. They spent $200 million, and they started winning.
It's right place, okay. right time, Fred.
Yeah, I guess. All of a sudden, he's a great manager. He wasn't a great manager before that, but, you know, whatever.
But they don't matter.
And I haven't looked at this. I haven't watched a lot of Mets baseball. Now, the Mets are in first place. They're tied with Philadelphia in the East, a game-and-a-half lead over Atlanta, but they're just 15-13. James McCann this year, 16 for 77, one homer, seven RBIs. He struck out 19 times. His slash line, 208 batting average. On base is 274. His slugging is 247.
Ooh, they're overpaying him right now.
Well, he's not. Yeah, he's not performing the way he is.
He's not what he was when he was here.
But their pitching staff, like I said, is obviously good enough because they're 15-13 right now. They've won four in a row and they're on top of the division. So, you know, you got your two catchers. You've got Grandal, who's hitting 140 or something like that, and then you have McCann. So neither of them are hitting real well.
But I agree with
the caller. I thought they should have kept McCann and found a way to move.
We both talked about that.
We
but
did.
Thankfully, Collins is starting to come along.
He is.
He's handling the pitching staff very well,
especially Carlos Rodon with the no hitter, and it looks like he may be the guy that catches him going forward. It's Giolito today, so when we come back, we'll hear what Ethan Katz had to say about Lucas Giolito because he was his high school coach. He's helped him in the past, helped him become come from the worst pitcher in the game 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
3 years.
And all of a sudden become
from all-star to no-hitter.
Yeah. To become the pitcher he is. We'll hear from Ethan Katz. And also, I'm not hoity-toity that much, but I have some information from Forbes I would like to bring out to you. So
very highbrow stuff.
Yeah, of course, I read it on Yahoo, but it's from Forbes. Right. So we'll get to that, too. And your calls, you want to jump in.
You 312. Don't have to give away all your secrets.
Eh, I always do. I don't ever let people think that I'm smart. 312-332-3777.
Either purposely or by accident.
Exactly. 312-332-3776. You're on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Talking baseball on a Sunday morning, ESPN 1000. I'm Xander. Fred Huebner's here, of course. And we've got a
poll. I won't be here next week.
You won't be?
No.
Why?
Next Saturday is my 64th birthday. And I decided I'm going to take Sunday off.
Okay.
I'm working White Sox Weekly on next Saturday, but next Sunday I'm just going to take the day off.
All right, so we'll get you cupcakes
so I can
or
sleep
something?
In.
Do you need something?
Do I need cupcakes? I had pasta last night at midnight. I don't need cupcakes.
Pasta at midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I slept real well.
I'm sure you did.
I don't ever remember turning over.
I'm sure you did.
I think the pasta was part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
that'll knock you out.
And then the beer from Buckle Down that I had as I was making the pasta is a barrel aged stout called Significant, and it was about a year and a half old. And I posted, "You think this is still good?" And Ike from Buckle Down just got to me. He said, "If it's not, we'll make sure you're taken care of." It was wonderful. It was. Then again, I was making pasta at midnight, but it tasted great.
Did it pair well?
Probably not supposed to, but it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pasta.
At some point, it doesn't matter.
Pasta and a stout. Right. Yeah. It didn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So we've got this baseball poll we also put on our Twitter, ESPN 1000. because batting averages are down. We know that, right?
233 going into baseball yesterday. Major league average hitters was 233, which is very, very low.
And it started falling last year. Am I correct? Or
it's been falling constantly. There was a great article.
But this is the lowest point right now?
Yeah. The Cubs hit 217 in August last year, which was unthinkable until they hit 213 in September. In April, they were hitting 216. So, yeah, it's been brutal in all of baseball. So, yeah, 233. It's a drop off from 245 last year.
Okay, and pitchers have been, you know, really, really strong.
Four no-hitters.
Four,
yeah.
Okay. So
two this week.
Yeah, right, and here's the question. Which is your favorite kind of Major League Baseball game to watch, either in person or on TV? Low-scoring pitching duel, high-scoring slugfest, or any kind of game? So jump in there, and we'll wrap it up before we're out of here at 12:30.
Yeah, that's on at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Let's go to Oak Park and Dave. Dave, what's going on today?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Doing well.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a thing with La Russa and everything. Not going to say you guys, but he's not a media-friendly person to a lot of media people. So a lot of people want to throw him under a bus anytime they can. There's certain amount of people that don't like him, especially down the dial. And so they'll find a way to criticize him. But if you look at what he's done as far as his staff, and you're going to have the guy on in a little while, Katz.
Yeah.
And he got the perfect type of coaching staff, and he's very organized, and you can kind of tell that. Will he make mistakes? I'm sure he will. But, you know, Ross, I don't know if he's made mistakes or not, but he's an ex-media guy, so people will give him the benefit of the doubt. So I just think we just got to be patient. The way baseball is going right now, I think we got the perfect guy for what we have.
Well, Dave, appreciate the call and appreciate you hanging in there. It's funny because you pointed to me immediately.
Right, because you have that story about Tony so many years ago.
Yeah, he was not a nice guy and not media friendly and not nice to the media, but I've not been pounding him for this mistake because.
And he doesn't seem to be that same guy.
No, he's not.
Right.
He's a lot different than he was.
And what Dave was referring to was that poll that we had. Look, Ross is flashier, right?
Yeah.
Here's a guy who won the World Series with the team. Grandpa Rossi, the whole thing. Now he's their coach. It's a flashier story.
Well, and plus he was an ESPN guy, so he was media related for a year or so.
Right.
So he was on media. He was doing games
and
things like that.
So whether it's the media that favors David Ross or even, you know, people who participated in the poll yesterday, Ross is a flashier guy.
Uh-huh.
But Tony is... He's a different version of Tony, but he's still Tony La Russa. He still has all that success behind him. And I agree with Dave. If he has his coaching staff helping him like they should have, and we got a little glimpse of a misstep, but I think we'll be fine moving forward.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think the players can out-hit any problems they have. They've started.
Out-pitch.
Abreu has not started to hit yet. Right. Out-hit, out-pitch, and do everything. Again, I said... Madden wasn't the reason the Cubs won in 2016. They pitched well. They hit the ball well. That's why they won, my opinion. So people can, I know I've argued this for decades. I argued it probably at Sports Phone and then at the other station and here. I do it all the time because I just don't think they mean a whole heck of a lot. They have organizational skills. They throw a lineup together. And in the American League, especially when you don't have double switches and all the other kind of stuff, you do even less. I know Ozzie Guillen somewhere saying, I do a lot. But Ozzie also would tell you back in the day, when the players lose, it's on me. Or when the team loses, it's on me. When the team wins, it's the players. No. It's on the players all the time, in my opinion. The problem is managers get hired to get to be fired. It always is going to be that way.
It goes right to the top, the figurehead that gets the blame.
Right. That's the way it always works. Let's go to the West Side and Colin. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Colin.
Hey there. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Great. What I wanted to call and tell you is that nobody who watches baseball likes good pitching. They like great pitching or 10-9 slugfest. And there's an important distinction there. Nobody wants to watch a baseball game that's 3-2.
You don't think?
I feel like the reason baseball is losing fans is that we sit there for 3.5 hours and we watch 4 hits, one's a double. And then you're like, well, what am I doing here? It was not exciting. There was no momentum. I want to see baseball games either 10-8 or 1-0 with great pitching.
Well, and right. And this poll is really about, is the majority of people taking part serious baseball fans that can really appreciate a low-scoring pitching duel? Or are they, you know, that fan that just wants to see some flash? And they're, the majority are fans that want to see the flash, and that's why baseball has lost some viewership.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And the rules that they're changing are certainly headed towards a bigger audience and trying to gain more people.
They're trying, and yeah.
To Tony La Russa's deficit there.
Yeah.
That the rules are changing.
Yeah, and hopefully they fill them in and let them know what they all
well,
are.
Well, that 10th inning thing, yeah. You know, talking...
Oh, it's crazy. Colin, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Talking about that 10th inning rule, I've never liked it. I heard Sylvie make an argument for it, which I kind of get, but I've never liked it. And it's all about saving pitchers' arms, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
That's the whole thing.
So if that's it, why don't we just go to 7-inning games? How many arms will be saved?
I know.
I mean, seriously.
Well,
if that's what they're trying to do.
The players' union would never let that happen.
I know that. I'm being a smartass. But the point is, there must be another way than that 10th inning thing. And I know it's not going to happen very often.
Yeah.
But it just seems very amateur softball league.
It does. Connor McKnight had a poll the other day, and I don't know what the results were, but he said he had asked DJ, and he said, how long do you think the longest regular game will be this year because of the 10-inning rule? Will it be 12, 13, 14, 15? How many innings will the longest game be? Because everybody gets a guy in second base in the 10.
And you're just perpetuating. You could be perpetuating. It doesn't mean automatically you have a
result.
A result quicker.
It doesn't always happen.
Right.
And I think some of the managers are still trying to figure it out. I told you we'd hear from Ethan Katz. We'll do that. We'll talk with you about the information I have from Forbes. We'll do all that stuff. We come back. We'll take your calls. 312-332-3776. We're here until 12:30. Back in 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.